on stage.
It's good to see you all gathered here now that I can see you. It's a beautiful thing. This is the warmest sunrise service that I have probably ever been to. When you're up in the hills and you're up on top of Route 2 where the elk is, generally you're looking over snow. Down here in the flatlands, of all the years that we've set up, and this is early, Charlie Roy and I have backed into the snowbank at Dakota's house for years and then come over here, and every year we come out here and I walk around and make believe that I'm not cold and have a good time. I don't have to make believe today. This truly is the day that the Lord has made, and I want to welcome you all here. And sunrise, this is the service that sets the tone for the rest of your year. For the entire rest of your year, this sets the tone. Folks come late for Easter service. Easter service is late. They all should get out of bed and come to sunrise because this service sets the tone for the rest of the year. No matter if you're out of work, if you're sick, if people die, if the you have riots, you have tornadoes, you have floods, this is the service. And this is the day that gives you the hope and the intestinal fortitude to get through all that stuff.
Amen.
Because Christ is risen. Christ is truly risen indeed, and you should be very thankful, because people without God, I have no clue how they get through the week. I have no clue how they survive all the turmoil, all the stress, how they raise children, how they deal with the news, how they deal with everyday life's activities. I have no clue without the thought that I stand here undeserving, that I didn't do anything, I don't deserve anything, but Jesus Christ loved us enough to come and commemorate on this day the sacrifice of being hung on a cross and died and raised from the dead so that we, who have no right to it, can live forever.
Amen.
So that all the folks, my brother, my mom, my dad, all the folks that have come before me are all up in heaven with God, and that I will go there also to be joined in that big clan gathering in the sky. And this is the day that kicks that bad boy off. This is the day that starts it all over again, so that your batteries are fully recharged. We come to church every week to be renewed and to be filled up with the Spirit so that we can get through the next week, so we can celebrate the week that's just gone by. But this is the day. So as we come together, our call to worship is, this is the day that His Lord has made. And I think that we have a problem with the second part. I think that a lot of days we have a problem with the second part of that verse, because it says, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day is a day that's filled with opportunity, that's filled with the opportunity for us to share the love and light of Jesus Christ with everybody that we come in contact with, and I think we don't maximize that enough. So as we prepare for service, would you join me in the sunrise prayer? And we'll read this together. Reading,
God our Father, by raising Christ your Son, you conquered the power of death and opened the way for us to eternal life. Let our celebration today raise us up and renew our lives by the Spirit that is within us. Grant us through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labors of my hands tears forever flow. All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Shall I to the fountains fly? Wash me, Savior, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, while my eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Amen. Amen. Nice, huh, Pete?
Yep.
Now, Rock of Ages is one of those old ones. We were getting ready to sing, and I was putting the bulletin together, and Elaine said to me, we're going to sing Rock of Ages. I was pleased. I was pleased because there's some hymns that just never go away. You know, traditional hymns are something that kids grow up with that we sing along. And Rock of Ages, I've heard sung at baptisms. I've heard it sung at funeral services. It's one of those hymns that is part of the fabric, not only of the Christian church, but it's part of the fabric of America. And Rock of Ages is a hymn that I've heard my uncles dig ditches to and cut hay to. And you'd work out, and whether you were cutting wood or whatever, it was one of those songs that you didn't have to know all the words. All you needed to know was the chorus, and they'd fill in as you went along. Bridget, if you'd read the scripture from Luke.
Today's scripture is Luke 24. But very early on Sunday morning, they took the ointments to the tomb and found that the huge stone covering the entrance had been rolled aside. So they went in, but the Lord Jesus' body was gone. They stood there puzzled, trying to think what could have happened to it. Suddenly, two men appeared before them, clothed in shining robes, so bright their eyes were dazzled. The women were terrified and bowed low before them. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking in the tomb for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has come back to life again. Don't you remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Messiah must be betrayed into the power of the evil men and be crucified, and that he would rise again the third day?" Then they remembered, and they rushed back to Jerusalem to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. The women who went to the tomb were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and several others. But the story sounded like a fairy tale to the men. They didn't believe it. However, Peter ran to the tomb to look stooping. He peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. And then he went back home again, wondering what had happened. The same day, Sunday, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles out of Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking of Jesus' death, when suddenly Jesus himself came along and joined them and began walking beside them. But they didn't recognize him, for God kept them from it. "You seem to be in a deep discussion about something," he said. "What are you so concerned about?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces, and one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about the terrible things that happened there last week." I think that's it.
Amen.
Scripture we use on sunrise and on Easter is a story of courage and a story of faith. And it's interesting that the women came because women didn't have a lot of value. And in Jewish tradition, women don't bury men. In Jewish tradition, men marry men and women marry women, and they don't cross over. And Jesus had foretold his death and had foretold his resurrection. But nobody really believed. The women went to pay honor to Jesus and to his body. And they went expecting to find the soldiers there, expecting to find the stone there. Their expectations were physical. Were physical because they had seen the beating, they had seen the crucifixion, they had seen his body taken away, and they had gone into hiding. I don't know if you've ever been really afraid. Or if you've ever been really afraid where you feared for your life. Over the years, different times, I wondered if I was going to go back home that day. I wondered if I was going to come back home and that I'd ever be back with my family again. That's a different kind of fear. That's a different kind of fear where you're really afraid for your life. And these women, even though they're really afraid for their life, and all that they had been following and all that they believed in was apparently destroyed. They had seen their master that they had followed, beaten and hung on a cross, mocked. They'd also seen the earthquakes that followed. We watch things like the explosions in Brussels, and we watch them from afar, and we say, boy, that's terrible. Boy, that's terrible. We watch the hurricanes that come through and wreck entire cities and communities, and we had a little taste of it a few years ago, and we look at it and we say, that's terrible. But these women came in spite of all that going on. They got up in the morning and they came very early. They came very early because it was safe. That was the safest time of day they could think of to go, and they went in spite of the fact that they might be locked up or killed. And then they come and they're surprised. They're surprised. I spent a lot of time in hospitals and with folks over the years, and I prayed for a lot of folks. And sometimes you're surprised. Sometimes you're surprised. I remember my granddaughter being in the hospital. And the surgeon was at his house, and sometimes technology works the way it's supposed to. And the surgeon looks at some x-rays and looks at some test results. And I get a call that says, Riley's going to go into surgery. And he came in the door, and I knew him pretty well. And he was as focused as I'd ever seen anybody in my life. He came in and he said, I'm taking her into surgery now. And he took her in and he said, we need to do this now. And so we all prayed. And we prayed and we hoped. And as y'all know, Riley came through the surgery and out the other side. Baby Luke, if you've got the emails on Baby Luke is a miracle. Baby Luke is a miracle child who defies the odds, who had a bone marrow transplant that did not work and defied the odds and went back through the purification process of taking his immune system down and rebuilding the immune system. And the picture that came through this week is, you know, you pray and you hope that all the prayers will go forward and that little baby will be healed. That's the kind of aw shucks moment that you have. Elaine talked to her daughter-in-law yesterday up in Alaska. Baby Angelica now reaches for her toys. She starts to reach for her toys. This is a little girl that was born and had no motor skills. She was missing a chromosome. And God reached down and said, here's your chromosome.
Amen.
On the morning that the women came to the tomb, the stone is rolled back. It's gone. The soldiers are gone. And people dressed in white come out and say, why are you here? Who do you seek? And they're filled with awe. And they go back and they tell the other disciples. And the other disciples say, can't be. All but one. One runs back to the tomb to look for himself. He looks for himself because that disciple wants to know. Wants to know himself. Wants to go see himself. Wants to know the answer that had been forecast, that his Savior had risen. This is a day that we celebrate undeserved salvation. This is a day that we celebrate awe and shock and honor and glory and all the things that make us Christian and all the things that make us united. Because if we can unite with other Christians across the world and set aside our differences and come together as a united force that believes in the Son of God being risen and that we all get to go home and be with heaven, we can be a powerful force instead of a milquetoast bunch of Sunday Christians. We can be game changers. We can be world changers. We can change the face of our families and our communities if we go out and we work together with the love and light of Jesus Christ and reach out to cross over and bring that love to everybody that we come in contact with. We'll be very powerful. We'll be very active. We'll be a group that causes change throughout not just the community that we live in, but throughout the world. And others will come because they'll see that light and they'll feel that love and they'll want to be part of the love and light of Jesus and all the little picky things that come along the way. All the little picky things. We don't sing that hymn that way. I've sung that hymn this way since I was a kid. That's not the way we sing that hymn. I'm sorry that the service order, that little bald guy changed the order of service. Your job is to find the light and love of Jesus each and every day, whether it's under the motorcycle, whether it's under the porch working on somebody's porch, whether it's at work, whether you're teaching all those kids from Springfield, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, if you're delivering the mail to the people that aren't happy, your job is to be that light. Your job is to be the light and the love and share the opportunity because you have unlimited opportunity, healing power, expectation power, the ability to change a dark day to a sunny day because the light and light of Jesus Christ flows through you.
Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Do first and last verses of In the Garden. Everybody got the words? Anybody need them? Okay. I come to the garden of love,
while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses.
talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
Interesting, that was my mom's favorite hymn.
Mine too.
Yours too? Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those hymns. That a lot of folks, you know, Kit and I have done a lot of different services together over the years, and I can't tell you how many folks like that hymn. And it's interesting, and I always like it. You know, I like it any time of year, but this time of year, it's gardening time. You know, and we've got early spring, and the flowers are coming up. We were visiting about how early the flowers are this year. My rhubarb's starting to stick its head out of the ground. And today I brought flowers with me. I'm going to do the children part, give them some flowers. I remember being a kid and coming to Easter service. And Easter service was where you'd show up and you'd always get marigolds or you'd get pansies or something to come back home, because the minister would always like the story of comparing Jesus to the seed that goes into the tomb and then comes back out as a flower. And we always send a lot of folks home to be with God every year. And God's army lately must have a whole new detachment, because we keep sending them home week after week after week, all lots of them to go home and be with God. But this time of year is consolation, because we don't plant and yet we sow. All these flowers come up. You know, we walk through the park down at Wrinkle Village, and Elaine and I are walking along, and she says, "Oh, there's all these flowers out in the woods out there." God takes care of all of them. God resurrects them just like he resurrects us every day that we send troops home to be with God. They're here for an instant, and when they die, they're home with God. They're resurrected. That little wrinkled-up seed body that's no good anymore is healed, and it's resurrected into full bloom back with God. So be joyful. This truly is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to sing first and last verses of Christ the Lord is Risen today. We'll do the benediction. Then we'll go back and we'll have fellowship over farm fresh eggs. If you weren't going to come to breakfast, you should come. Nate's chickens have sacrificed. Elaine and I have gone over and picked the chickens. We personally have picked the chickens up in the air and brought those eggs for your eating pleasure this morning. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. All right. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. All creation joins to say hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high, alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, alleluia. Soar we now where Christ has led, alleluia. While in exalted head, alleluia. Made like him we rise, alleluia. Eyes across the grave, the sky, alleluia.
That's pretty good.
pretty good. Join with me in prayer. Father, as the sun rises, so do our hopes, our joy. Father, we raise up ourselves to you. We climb up on the altar today, Lord. We climb up on the altar and we offer us, all of ourselves. We offer ourselves from the top of our head to our bottom of our feet. We offer all our talents, all our abilities. We offer, Father, the unlimited opportunity that you provide, Lord, to utilize us. That this year would be a year that we fully encompass the idea of being a fully functional, high-speed, low-drag, Teflon-coated, high-intensity Christian. That we would maximize each day and each opportunity to serve you, to do your work and to do your will, to stop and see those folks that we may not really like, but we must stop and see them, to stop and offer help to those that are helpless, to bring light to those that are living darkness, to bring all the tools and all the joy and love that you have to offer, Father, to everyone that we come in contact with. We ask that you bless us now, bless us mightily, help us as we move forward as a united force working for you, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
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 Group hug and offering.
Thank you.